For a very, very long time, I've just recently begun to see some things that the Lord's been placing on my heart. Just seeing them gathered up. And it's kind of like when there's... Okay, I guess I could put it this way. It's kind of like if you drink soda pop, you can the soda's in there, the contents are in there, and at some point someone can take that can or that bottle and just start shaking it, you know, and shaking it more, and it just builds up. I'm not sure the term that I could even call it. But anyway, I feel like I've been shaken for a while, and I've been stirred by the Lord. But as I do wanted to say, that which I want to share this morning has been on my heart for quite some time, and it's really, the Lord is just really gathering up the fragments in my heart. It is concerning the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I have shared fragments before in the past because I looked at some notes that I had looking for a way I said something the other day, and it was from a long time ago. And things are just clearer. They're more focused. It's more in view. The Lord Himself is more in view in regard to this. And what I would like to just start with, let's just go ahead and turn to John chapter 5 and it's verse 39. And everybody knows this passage. Everyone can probably quote this passage. I just want to go ahead and turn there and read the actual passage straight out of the scripture. And I want to go from there. And this response that Jesus gives is after he's speaking to, I guess, the Jews, the religious leaders, concerning himself and the Father, and how that he and the Father are one, and how all things point to Jesus. I'll just read verse 31 from John chapter 5. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he beareth witnesseth of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. So he's speaking of John the Baptist. This is what John the Baptist came to do. He bare witness of the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but the things that I say that ye might be saved. But these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. And in John chapter 1, it says he was not that light, but he testified. He gave testimony of that light himself being Christ. And then verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. You have neither, and then he goes on to say, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. And then verse 39. Up to this point, Jesus is saying, John bear witness of me. The very works that I do bear witness of me, testify of me. The Father beareth witness of me and testifieth of me. And verse 39, search the scriptures. And I know in the context it's saying, like, Jesus is telling them, I know that you search the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. The scriptures have one goal. They are to testify of Christ. They are to testify of Jesus Christ. They are to testify of the risen, glorified Son of God. The testimony has a goal itself. The testimony has a goal. The goal of the testimony is to birth in our hearts the expectation to see, to behold that Christ that it testifies of. That's the goal of the testimony. And to help facilitate that birthing, that expectation in our hearts. Nothing else will birth this expectation in our hearts except the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, except the testimony of Jesus Christ. All right. God the Father, and I may just go to the board with this. All right. Here's the Father. God the Father had spoke in Genesis. Oh, even the book of Genesis, everything that Moses recorded testified of Christ. We may be looking at the passages in the scripture in a little bit. But here we have the scripture, right? This is basically everything from Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament scriptures. We also have the New Testament, Matthew to Revelation. Okay, the Old Testament, the scriptures, they testified of Christ. They basically said, He is coming. One is coming. This one is coming. The testimony itself did not have the substance, was not the substance, but the testimony declared the substance, which is Christ Himself, which is Jesus Himself. That's why Jesus told those religious leaders in John 5:39, you're searching the scriptures because in the scriptures themselves you think you have that life. You think you find that very life. And He's saying, they are testifying of me, the very life, the very substance. Okay? So we've got the scriptures. Now the Old Testament, was declaring the substance. He is coming. Behold, He cometh. He cometh. He cometh. He is coming. It promised things, many things, testifying of one, of the substance, Christ Himself. It took many things in the Scripture to testify of one. Many things in the Old Testament to testify of one. The most easiest examples would be like in Exodus, the lamb. Take every man a lamb. And with Abraham and Isaac, the father offering up his only son and then offering him as a sacrifice unto God. Well, that was a type and shadow. That was a picture of God the Father offering up his only son, Jesus. Okay? All those different things, all those different types, all spoke and all speak, all testified of only one, the substance. They weren't the substance themselves, but they testified of that very substance. Okay? So in here you have the natural creation. Even the natural creation testifies of the substance of Christ, the new creation Himself, which Christ is, of Christ, the natural creation. Okay? Then you have man. Man was to testify of Christ. Adam was to be a testimony of Christ. Everything that Adam did, the thing, and you say, well, what happened when Adam fell? Right? Oh, he sinned in the garden. He ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Was that a testimony of Jesus? No. At that point, Adam ceased being a testimony. All that God created was to testify. And you can go on and on. The kings, Israel itself, all of them, etc., etc., etc. They were all to be a testimony. Here it is. A testimony testimony.
Of Jesus Christ. They had one purpose and only one purpose. The goal of the scripture is to testify of Christ. The goal of the testimony is to birth in our hearts an expectation to see that very Christ. Okay? One goal, one purpose. And we'll be looking at a couple of passages just to kind of see that. But everything that God created was for that one sole purpose. Testified of a substance. The testimony was not the substance. The testimony did not have the substance, but it testified of that very substance. It always spoke, it always said, one day, someday he will come. And all Israel was in expectation for that day. For that day when he would appear. For when he would come on the scene, if you will. Okay? So here's the Father. And he has one desire. He has one Son. He has one object of his affection, and that is his beloved Son. And everything that he does in the Scripture testifies of that very one Son. Everything testifies. It's all there. Bound up with that, well, you could say, and he has, the Father, he has his Son. He is fully, completely satisfied with his Son. I like the way Raven shared in one of his classes, or maybe it was on a Sunday session, he mentioned how we have come into relationship with a satisfied God. I know I'm not doing it justice or saying it the way Raven said it, but God is fully and completely satisfied with his Son. All right. He has what he has done. He has basically said, whosoever will, come and be satisfied as well. Whosoever will, come and partake of my satisfaction. Whosoever will, come and partake of my joy. Whosoever will, come and partake of my delight. Participate in my delight, which is his Son himself. This he offers to mankind. This he offers to the world. Okay? We can see all this in the scripture where he pulled out of Babylon. I mean, he called a man called Abram. He drew him out from his father's family. Basically, he spoke to Abraham. He drew him unto himself. And now the Lord appears unto Abraham. And then the story goes on. And the Lord appears unto Abraham. And then the story goes on. And the Lord appears unto Abraham. Abraham responded. Abraham, during his time, responded. But responded to what? Abraham, during his time, responded to a participation in being a testimony of something greater. Maybe Abraham knew what was going on. Maybe he didn't. But he knew that God had spoken to him, and everything's different now. And you can see it by the way he changed his lifestyle and did all these things. But he was to be a testimony of something greater. All those in the Old Covenant were to be a testimony of that very thing. Okay? There were shortcomings in the Old Covenant. There were shortcomings, like as I mentioned, of Adam, when Adam sinned in the garden. That was a shortcoming of the testimony. So then, what does the Lord immediately do? He brings in, the Lord himself covers them. So there was a sacrifice, and there was a covering, all testifying. Once again, the Lord, regardless of man's shortcoming, the Lord brings in his recovering of the testimony. His recovering of the testimony. So when the Lord brings in a sacrifice, an animal was killed. And then Adam and Eve were covered, were clothed. And then, they weren't cat. They, well, I guess they did end up out of the garden. But there was a recovery with the Lord. And then you see it in the after that, and how I think Raven even shared it just recently in one class. You know, everything came to a point in Genesis 6 with Noah. And God said, they've lost it. They've left the testimony. Man was wicked before God. Well, that's man's, that is the state of man. But in the eyes of God, greater than that is that they left the testimony for which they were created. In the Old Covenant, they were created to be a testimony of something greater, of the substance. So, and here's the Lord, okay. They've left the testimony. They're not turning their hearts to the testimony. They're not. They've left their purpose. Listen to this. They left their purpose for existing. They existed for a testimony. Jesus said, search the Scriptures. You search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they that testify of me. The purpose of the Scriptures are to testify of me. In the natural daily goings of their lives, Noah and the flood, in God's heart, it's like they left their purpose for existing, which was to testify, to be a testimony of my son. So what does God say? I only found one. There's only one who found grace in my eyes. Noah and all that are found with him. So once again, the Lord recovers that testimony. Oh, the destruction of one creation and the bringing forth of a new creation. And it says, and only Noah remained. Beautiful. Beautiful. The taking away of the old, the removing of the first, the establishing of the second. Only Noah remained. The Lord himself steps in, brings back his testimony, recovers his testimony in that generation, during that time, amongst those who had left their purpose. With their purpose at that time, which was to testify of Christ, to be a testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay? So then, it goes on. It goes on. And now, every single time, you've got different ones. Now, I was thinking of, I'll go ahead and use this one, Elijah. All the, well, let's go before that. I'll just make a note of Elijah here. Before that, oh, you had different ones. You had Abraham, you know, Isaac, Jacob and Israel. Abraham at some point, he goes off unto Egypt and the Lord brings him back. Why? Because he left the testimony for which he was supposed to represent. He left the testimony. The testimony was lost. He's down in Egypt and the Lord's like, what are you doing in Egypt? That's not your purpose. The Lord brings him back. But even in that, it's all a testimony of Christ. So then you find, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham. Once again, picks up right where he left off. Right in the purpose for Abraham existing. That's where the Lord picked back up. See, the Lord has, even now, us who are believers, there is a purpose for which our soul was created. There is a purpose for us. And it's not what religion teaches. It's not, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to serve God, and you're going to, you know, be this great person, or blah, 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 or you're going to be a teacher, blah, blah. It's nothing like that. It's nothing like that. See, the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the Scriptures testified of a substance that it could not provide. It testified of a substance that it could not bring you to, that it could not produce, that it could not give. It just said, someday, one day, even God spoke to Moses. Moses is like, out of all the things I can ask, just this one thing. Let me see your glory. And God says, no, you cannot. Man cannot. No. I mean, there was no substance in the Old Testament. Yes, they saw the Lord. Yes, but it was, remember, from afar, from without. 3 days, you know, even when Abraham went with his son Isaac. They saw the place from afar, 3 days' journey. But it was always from afar, from without. God was never on the inside. He was always somewhere and they were somewhere else. Okay? No substance. They had no substance. And for those of the Old Covenant, it was a big no. You cannot come. You cannot see. You cannot partake of till the substance come. So, and here we go all the way. And now, the substance finally appears. And this is where we come into view. And by his death, burial, and resurrection, now the Lord, as I stated earlier, throws a big blanket statement. Whosoever will, come, partake. Whosoever will, come, receive. Whosoever will, come, be satisfied. The purpose for the soul is the appearing of Christ. First, that life would appear where there was no life before. Oh, the blessed appearing of Christ when you're born again. And you know what it's like. In my own natural mind, I remember when I was first born again, the first thing I thought of was, I've never known love before, till now. I never knew what it was. Everything is so different. It's like I thought my family loved me. They never loved me. This one is love. And to some extent, we taste that love. To some extent, we experience that love. We may not fully comprehend or understand that love, you know, because when we're born again, we're born like a little child. We're ignorant of everything. In fact, we are born blind, not knowing truly what's taking place. But it was like everything, you know, everything's different. You know, everything is new. Unfortunately, religion steps in and says, now you must do this. Now you must do that. Now you must stop this. Now you must stop that. And we never continue in that appearing for which our soul was created. You can find the purpose of the soul wrapped up in Acts chapter 26:16. I saw this before I found this translation, and I worded it with my own words. I studied out the words in the original Greek and all this stuff. And basically the best translation, which said it way far better than I could ever say it, was James Murdoch's translation of the Syriac Peshitta. And this, he was speaking to Saul of Tarsus when he was persecuting the church. Now, some will say, oh yes, well of course, this is for Saul, because he then became Paul, the great apostle Paul, who wrote many books, many epistles of the New Testament. Well, sorry, no. It's a blanket statement, once again, for whosoever will. Whosoever will. Do you remember the parable of the wedding feast? Where Jesus was declaring, okay, there was a wedding feast. And the father of the wedding feast said, you know, go call them in, that they may come. Well, they didn't want to come. Some had to do this. This one had to do that. Okay. Well, then call the others in. And finally, he just says, call them all. Blanket statement. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. That's the exact type in Acts 26:16. And this is the way it reads in the Syriac, James Murdoch's translation of the Syriac Peshitta. Jesus appears to Saul of Tarsus and he says, I have appeared unto thee. Stuff didn't appear unto you. Things didn't appear unto you. An angel didn't appear unto you. I have appeared. To me, that's where Saul was born again. That was his beginning. Christ appeared where Christ was not before. I have appeared unto thee. And then he goes on, for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness. And I know religion runs with that and says, okay, we're going to be a minister, we're going to be a witness of this and that. No, well, a minister is just someone who speaks. Right? We minister, everybody, the heathen minister, they minister death because they do not minister Christ. They speak death. They proclaim death because they do not proclaim life. There is no life there that they can proclaim. Okay? Of this, to make thee a minister and a witness, one who is seen, one who is actually seen, one who is beheld of this. I will make you a minister and a witness of this. Now when you speak, this is what you will speak. Now when you see and behold, this is what you would behold of this. Thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. The purpose for the soul. The appearing of Christ and the appearing of Christ hereafter. A continual appearing, just like with Abraham. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham. And you read a little bit further. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham. And you read a little bit further. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham. And when Abraham got off, the Lord recovered his testimony, and it says, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham. With Jacob, the same thing. And the Lord appeared unto Jacob. And then it goes on a little bit more. And the Lord appeared unto Jacob. And he goes on. The Lord appeared. What they could not, they only testified. They were only a testimony of Christ in this relationship that we would, that we are now able to come into. But the testimony is there. The testimony is there. Purpose for the soul, that we would continue in that very appearing of Christ, that we would continue in the purpose for which our soul was created. Since I mentioned that, let's go to Genesis. Remember? The entire scripture is a testimony, is a testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, when in that verse, in Acts 26:16, this, thy seeing me, I have appeared unto thee, now you are born again, because life has appeared where there was no life before. And thy seeing me hereafter, this seeing me hereafter, this appearing hereafter, is what we term as the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is revealed. He is present, the exact, oh, beautiful, new birth. Before I read this Genesis, in new birth, what happens at new birth? What actually happens? Life appeared where life was not there before. Immediately, you see it with the type that Jesus did in the Gospels. Immediately, life appears, Christ appears in his temple. Immediately, everything is driven out that is not him. Immediately, everything is driven out that is not him. Everything, there's the change. New birth, there's a tremendous change that happens in new birth. Tremendous. I've read some commentaries, and they even say, The very same creative power that was present when God, in Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created, is present when someone is born again. The very same miracle. Very same miracle. Okay, so now Jesus, where Paul picks up and says, know ye not that you are the temple of the living God, and that the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in you? Know ye not that you are the temple of God, of the living God? Christ is present. We're just ignorant of his presence. We are ignorant of who is in the house, of who is dwelling. It's the same example, the same testimony of Jacob and Bethel, the house of God. It says, Jacob fell asleep, laid his head on a rock, had a dream, and he saw the angels ascending and descending, and he wakes up out of his dream, out of his slumber, out of his night. And he wakes up in the day and says, surely, the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. God was here this whole time. I didn't know it. I was ignorant. Ignorance isn't a bad thing. Please understand, ignorance is not a bad thing. It is not. To remain ignorant is not a good thing. Because we will continue, as we always have, before life was present. Till that life is revealed, and we see the change that has already taken place at new birth. So Jacob goes on to say, surely this must be the house of God, for he was here this whole time, and I knew it not. This must be the house of God. The very exact same thing. Christ must be revealed. We must see the one who is dwelling in our soul. We must see the one who is in his house. Now back to Genesis. Okay? In the beginning, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you cannot be in Christ if Christ is not in you. In like manner, if Christ is in you, there is no way that you cannot be in him. All right, what did I say? If you are born again, Christ is in you. By virtue of him being in you, you are now found in him. In union with him. Jesus said in John chapter 15, continue in me as I am continuing in you. He didn't set it up to, you know, bring us to a fall. He didn't say, do this so I can do this. No. What he, in John 15 with the vine and the branch, he's basically saying, because of me, let your heart be where it is. Because I am in you, therefore, remain where you are. Therefore, turn your heart to see where you are. Okay? It's always out of order. So, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, if anyone be born again, he is a new creation. I'm going to turn there real quick so I don't misquote it. If any man be in Christ, that's 2 Corinthians 5:17. I've been here for a while in one of the classes. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creation. Listen to this. Old things are passed away. And I know the way we read it. We read, the old things are passed away, the new things are now here. The new things are all things are made new. That's the way we read it. That's the way we read it. And there is a big something in between the old and the new. The cross. There is that which was old, pre-cross, and that there is now there is that which is new because of the cross. Okay? If any man be in Christ, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Not someday they will be passed away. No, old things are passed away. Remember? At new birth, immediately, Christ enters his temple. Everything that is not Christ is driven out. He alone remains. Like Noah. And Noah alone remained. Christ alone remained. The Mount of Transfiguration. And they lifted up their eyes and saw Jesus only. Jesus only remained. Christ only remains in his temple, in his house, the temple which we are, the house which we are. The question is, do we know who's dwelling in the house? It'll make the difference. Because we will not be changed at the point where we find out. No. We will, in our hearts, become aware of the change that has taken place at new birth. That's exactly what will happen. When Christ is revealed, there is no big change in us per se. No. When Christ is revealed, our hearts, our souls, see the change, behold the change. And just like Jacob, you were here this whole time, and I knew it not. I thought it was me and you, but me. But I see now that it's not me at all, but it is you. Paul, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I live in the flesh. I live in the flesh, in this flesh, in this body. And yet not I who live, but it is Christ in me who lives. It is Christ himself who is actually living here. It's not me. Me was done away with at the cross. Me was done away with when I was born again. I thought it was me. No, no. When Christ appears, we see who alone remains. So, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creation, all things are passed away. Here is what it is. Behold. Behold. Behold, the new is come. Behold, all things are become new. The new is come is actually found in several different translations. Behold, the new is come. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. Behold, I am the newness of all things. If I am present, behold, it is new. But the key, see, I think I might have jotted this down. I wrote it down, and I know it's just in my mind, and I know I'm not going to say it the way I wrote it down that made it make more sense. The divider between the old and the new is the cross. That's the divider. The divider in our soul participating in that reality that has taken place at the cross, the divider in our soul, in our heart, of partaking of comprehending, of understanding, of walking in that reality that has taken place already at the cross, is the beholding. Right in the middle. If any man be in Christ, a new creation. Whoops, lost my place. All things are passed away. Behold, the new has come. Behold. See, religion will not tell you to behold. It will not. It will tell you to do everything but. It will tell you to be like Jesus. It will tell you to stop doing this, stop doing that. It will say, now you need to change the way you do this, and now you need to do this. It will falsely represent the law. Did you hear what I said? Because the law, Moses, testified of me. It goes on in John chapter 5. If you, where Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders, if you had believed Moses, you would believe me. He wrote of me. But here comes religion, falsely declaring the word of God, falsely declaring the law. When all God had with, let's just say, the Ten Commandments, what do we do? What do you want me to do? Or, get this, right there in the Mount Sinai, all Israel basically crying out to God, what do you want? Right? What do you want? Here's God. Here, Moses, take this mirror of my son. The law, you know, the Ten Commandments, let's say there's two right there. What does Moses hold up? A picture of Jesus. What do you want, God? My son. That's all I've ever wanted. And the fallacy of religion says, I can do that. I can produce that. I can give you what I want, what you want. I can try to do that. When God the whole time was saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Because when you hear him, your heart will turn. Just like John on the Isle of Patmos. And I heard the voice that spake to me, and I turned to see the voice. And being turned, I saw. John continued in purpose. John continued in the purpose for which his soul was created. And see, out of that beholding, out of that seeing, comes everything that religion strives for. Everything. Everything. Oh, religion promises this and this, but just like the old covenant, it cannot deliver. It does not promise. And worse off, it doesn't even promise the substance. But the substance has come. Jesus said, all up to John. He is coming. He is coming. Even John the Baptist. Behold, there cometh one who was preferred before me. Because he is before me. And then finally, he says, behold. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold. Here's what the testimony declares. The testimony declares the risen Christ. The testimony declares Christ. The testimony declares nothing less than Christ. The voice of the testimony says, behold the Christ of God. Unless the Lord changes my understanding, I think John the Baptist was the personified voice of the testimony. I mean, that was his climax. That was his apex. John, beautifully, he spake. He testified of Jesus. He testified. Even later on in the Gospel of John, some of the disciples said, speaking of John the Baptist, you know, he didn't do a great miracle. He never did any miracle. He didn't ever do anything great that we actually saw. But everything that he spake of this man being Jesus, was true. His testimony was true. Everything that came out of his mouth that he testified of was true. He had a true testimony. So, and here's the voice of the testimony. Behold the Christ of God. Behold the Messiah of God. That which your hearts, your souls have been in expectation for. Behold, here he is. Okay. Back to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. As we were saying in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creation, old things are passed away, behold, the new has come. Behold. Okay? The testimony, that's all it does. It testifies of Christ. It births in our heart that expectation to see that Christ. And it's when our hearts turn, when we hear the voice of the testimony, our hearts turn and we see that Christ. The veil is removed. And we see, as Jacob saw, the Lord was here the whole time and I knew it not. This surely is the house of God. Bethel, house of God. Genesis. All the scriptures were to testify of Christ. God allowed there to be a creation for one purpose. This natural creation that you see was created for one purpose, to testify of the creation which His Son is, of the new creation which His Son is. Man was created for one purpose at that point, to testify of the greater man, to be a testimony of the greater man. Though he had not the substance, he was to testify of that substance. And then you may start thinking, oh, well, that applies to us. No. In the Old Testament, up to the point of John, Jesus spoke of John the Baptist. There is no man greater than John. John is the greatest of men. John is the greatest of prophets. Why? Because all the prophets, all the testimonies said, behold, he cometh, he cometh, he's coming. Someday, one day, this day, the day of the Lord, it cometh, the Lord cometh. Righteousness, someday. Creation, someday. The kingdom, someday. Life, someday. Light, someday. The city, someday. All these things. The temple, someday, someday, someday. But John the Baptist gets to say, behold, he has come. That which you've been waiting for. That which the entirety of the Scripture has declared and testified of. The substance which it could not produce. The substance is now. Behold, he is here. He is now here. At that point in time, John the Baptist was not born again. Jesus had not gone to the cross. So then Jesus goes on saying, well, there has not risen a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Because none of the prophets of the Old Testament actually saw the substance of which they testified. None of them saw the substance. They saw from afar, but they did not see the substance. John alone saw that substance. And then Jesus goes on to say something like, nevertheless, he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. And you're thinking, well, John is the greatest of men up to that point and the greatest prophet. How can the one who's least in the kingdom be greater than John? Because the one, here we go again, you cannot be in the kingdom of God except the kingdom of God be in you. The kingdom of God being Christ himself. Wherever Christ is present, behold, the kingdom of God is here. If you are born again, behold, the kingdom of God is in you. And Jesus did speak that as though they were born again. He said, don't look out there. Don't look over there. Don't search here. Don't look, search there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in you. Well, he was speaking to those who would be born again because Christ is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a thing, remember? God used several multitudes, millions upon billions and trillions of things in the Scripture to testify of one, to testify of his Son. So the kingdom of God is not a thing. The kingdom of God is just a testimony of Christ. So back with John. The greatest of prophets, the greatest of men, arisen. None has arisen greater than John. And yet, why? Because John got to see the substance and present the substance, what the testimony does. But John saw him for himself, okay? And Jesus goes on to say, nevertheless, he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Because he who is least, who thinks himself least, or is seen as least in the kingdom of God, has the substance that John at that point did not have. John was one spot, one place, Jesus was another. But he who is least in the kingdom has the substance in them, in their soul. The substance is present. All the Scripture were testified of Christ until John. And now, behold, he has come. Whosoever will. Back to creation. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created. I'll just stop right there. In the beginning, God created. For what purpose? To testify of His Son. They are they that testify of me. And when Jesus said, had you believed Moses, What he means is the law, the first five books of the Old Covenant, the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books that Moses wrote. Had you have believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote of me. In the beginning, God created with one purpose, to testify of his beloved Son, to testify of his Son, to have a testimony of his Son. In the beginning, God created with one purpose, to have a testimony of his Son. The heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Testimony of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creation, all things are passed away. Behold, the new is come. What is it that God wants to do in this new creation? What is it that God, in type, in order, a spiritual order, that he set forth in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, what is it that he wants to do immediately when one is born again? Let there be light. When one is born again, there's a new creation. Now, let there be light. Religion says everything but that. Religion declares everything but that. Religion doesn't say, behold. No, religion says, do and do not do. But the testimony says, behold. Behold. There's also a verse where if we hear, here it is, if we hear the voice of the testimony, it's declaring, behold. Behold. All right? This is Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 7. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt. I like that's the order. Up out of. I won't go into that, but it's a spiritual order. Up out of the land of Egypt. Even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. What is the voice of the Old Testament? What is the voice of the testimony? What is the voice of the Scriptures? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Christ of God. Behold. Okay? With 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at this, verse 6. For God who commanded the light, he's referring to Genesis, to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The very first thing he wants to do when Christ appears, where Christ was not before, now there is a new creation. We would say that one is now born again, born from above, born of the seed of Christ, born from the beginning, born from Christ himself, born of God. Okay? The very first thing he wants to do in his creation, let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. Verse 6, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. In our hearts. The heart is the big key right here. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, when it was speaking about John the Baptist, it was saying basically this, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before your face. You can see Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, God created with one purpose, to testify of his Son. And now in that creation, he has one thing he wants to do, let there be light. And it says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Do you know that if you're born again and if you've not experienced this appearing of light, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ in your heart, then you've not truly experienced the first day? But see, we are to walk in the day. We are to walk in the light. We are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind from day to day. Day by day. Here's how we're renewed. Can I say it this way? Appearing by appearing. In appearing to appearing. This, thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. Malachi. Beautiful. The very last two verses of the Old Covenant, of the Old Testament. The last two verses. This is Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. I'll just start with verse 4. This is beautiful. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Mount Horeb for all Israel, the statutes and the judgments. Remember. Remember the law. Remember the statutes and the judgments. Why? Because they are they that testify of me. Remember. Why? Because it is a testimony. Remember. Hold this testimony in your heart. Hold it. Keep it near. Don't let it go. Don't let it slip. Keep it near you. Remember. Verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Verse 6. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The very last thing the Lord has to say. Wrapping it up. Wrapping the old covenant up. Wrapping it up. I send the messenger before you. Elijah the prophet. And he will turn your heart back unto me again. Why do I say that? Elijah and Mount Carmel. If you look back in the book of the Kings, Elijah and Mount Carmel. This is the apex of Elijah's ministry. All Israel is wandering to and fro, doing this and that. They're serving Baal. They're serving everything but the Lord. Their hearts are not. Listen to this. Their hearts are far from me. Think of that verse. Their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are far from me. So Elijah steps in on the scene. And what does he do? Mount Carmel. Gather all Israel to me. Just gather the whole body to me. And then he starts praying. He prepares the altar because obviously the altar is not in view anymore. The finished work is not in view anymore. He repairs the altar that is to testify of the greater Christ crucified. He takes the sacrifice, lays it on the altar. Christ, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. When I came to you, I determined not to know in myself anything, not to know anything among you. I don't want to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all I wanted to know. I wanted to know the testimony of Christ. I wanted to hear the testimony of Christ. I wanted my soul to hear, behold the Christ of God. I didn't want anything less because the scripture does not declare anything less. Because the testimony does not declare anything less. So here you have Elijah. Lord, let this people know today that I have done all these things according to thy word. And he begins it. Lord God, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And we won't go into that, but he declares the eternal purpose of the Father himself. And he says, let this people know today that I've done all these things according to your word, and that you, here it is, the apex of Elijah's ministry, and that you have turned their hearts back unto you again. And immediately fire descends and consumes everything, the whole sacrifice, the altar, and the water around the altar. And here at the very end in Malachi, behold, I will send my messenger, because he will turn your heart back unto me again. This is his purpose. This is what he will do. He will declare the testimony. And when you hear his voice, you will hear the voice of the testimony, which declares, behold the Christ of God. He said, behold the Lamb of God. He could have very well said, behold the creation of God. Behold the life of God. Behold the light of God. Behold the temple of God. Behold the Christ of God, the voice of the testimony. Well, who are you, John? Are you that prophet? Are you the anointed? No, I'm just the voice. I'm just the voice. I'm the voice of one. The testimony has one voice. It declares one, the voice of one. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Christ of God. It has nothing else to declare. It has nothing else to declare. There is no other voice. It has one, the testimony has one goal. That our hearts would turn to birth in our hearts in expectation to see that very Christ, the very substance which in the old covenant they could not see, they could not come to. But now, because of Christ crucified, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are come to. We have been allowed to be a partaker of. We have been invited. There's been an invitation that has gone out. And those of us who are born again have responded to that invitation. The Holy Spirit has dealt with our heart. We have ceased from kicking against the goads and we have responded. We're going in some direction that our soul was not created for, and now we've entered into the purpose for which our soul was created. The key is, will we continue in that purpose? Will we continue in that appearing of Christ? Will we continue? Will we continue hearing the voice of the testimony? Behold the Christ of God. What does it say? Rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Remember? The law. Religion will say, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. The testimony says, behold. Behold. What does Paul say to King Agrippa? King Agrippa, I was not disobedient. I obeyed the voice. I continued in obedience. And I continued in that very appearing for which Christ appeared to me in my soul. I continued in that appearing. I was not disobedient. I obeyed the voice like John. And I heard the voice and I turned to see the voice. I was obedient to the voice. My heart turned. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is speaking, he's using Moses and how there remains a veil over the hearts of the Jews, because he says that every Sunday Moses is read, but there remains a veil over their heart that they cannot see the glory that's of God. That there remains the veil, and he's saying, nevertheless, now these he's speaking to the Jews. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now he's speaking to those who aren't born again, okay? Nevertheless, when it shall turn unto the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Nevertheless, when those who are not born again, after the Holy Spirit's been dealing with their heart, you know, and they finally quit resisting and obey, their hearts turn, the veil is taken away, life immediately appears where there was no life before. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty to behold. Liberty to obey. Right? But we all, now verse 18, but we all who, Paul? We all in Christ. We all who are born again. We all in union with Christ. With open face, with no longer the veil, because our hearts are turned, all of us, who are born again, whose hearts are turning, have an open face. There's no cover here. There is no veil here. Face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Verse 6 of chapter 4, just going on a little further. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Back to verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, are transformed into that same image. From glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. From glory, the glory that had no substance but declared the substance, to the glory of the substance Himself, Christ Himself in you. The glory Himself, the substance dwelling within. Are changed, are transformed. The heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Are changed into the same image. Changed from our soul bearing the image of the old. From our soul bearing the image of the first man. From our soul bearing the image of that which is corruptible. Unto bearing the image of that which is incorruptible, unto bearing the image of Christ. We are transformed. Transformed. Our soul no longer bears that image, but our soul begins to bear the image of God, the purpose for which it was created. How? In the beholding of Christ, in the appearing of Christ. The purpose for which our soul was created is the very appearing of Christ. First, that life would appear where there was no life before, and now that the light of life would appear, the revealing of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that we would continue in that appearing, that we would continue in that revealing, that we would not be disobedient, but that we would obey the voice that declares, "Behold the Christ of God, behold." Religion will show us a picture of ourselves, and our faces will be downcast. Because it will not birth in our heart an expectation to lift our eyes, to lift our head. But see, the Lord is the lifter of our head. And in the Mount of Transfiguration, the example right there, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man. Religion will not cause you to do that. Only the testimony will cause you to do that. Only the testimony, because the testimony testifies of Christ. The testimony births in our heart that expectation to behold that very Christ. To see, to behold that very Christ, the very substance. That's what the testimony births in our heart. Nothing less. Nothing less. If we have heard the voice of the testimony, then our hearts are turned to see the Lord. And we behold Him. And we are transformed from bearing the image of the old to bearing the image of the new. And then we can say, yes, the old is passed away because I behold the new is come. The new is present. The new who is Christ. Nothing less. Nothing less than Christ. When we ourselves are beholding the Lamb of God, we have nothing else to declare as well. The very last verse that I'll end with, this is John chapter 1. And it has to do with John the Baptist, who I see to be as the personified voice of the testimony. This is verse 19. Chapter 1, verse 19. Well, it goes on. Let me skip down a little further. Verse 29. The next day, John. This is after John is saying, "One is coming. I'm not the Christ. The Christ is coming. I'm the voice of one." This is after his declaration. This is after John's declaration. This is verse 29 of John chapter 1. The next day, John seeth Jesus. I'll just hold it right there. John seeth Jesus and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." When our hearts are turned to see the Lord, the veil is removed and we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and the light shines out of darkness, just like in Genesis. Let there be light, and there is light. And we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the testimony that comes to prepare the way before His face. I send my messenger before you to prepare the way before your face. When we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we declare nothing less than, "Behold the Christ of God." We have nothing else to declare. Skipping down. Verse 34. "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples. See, here are some who are gathered to John. He has disciples. He has those who are hearing him, whose hearts are being stirred by his testifying of Christ. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples. Verse 36. "And looking upon Jesus." Here's their teacher. And what is their teacher doing? "Looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" Verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They heard the voice of the testimony, and they turned and they followed Jesus. Now at that point, please understand, at that point, they were not born again. Jesus was one place, they were in another place. But for us who are born again, when our heart turns, we will behold him as well. We will behold that very Christ of God as well. When our hearts turn, the veil will be removed. We behold that very Christ as well. And then all we have to declare is be just like the testimony, behold the Christ of God. That's all I have for this morning. Just the testimony, John, the Apostle John, in the book of Revelation, he says, I was on the Isle of Patmos for one thing, the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, nothing less. This is why I'm here, because there were some who did not want to hear the voice. And there were many more, probably, who did not want to obey that very voice. I'm here for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. There is nothing else that will birth in our hearts an expectation to see that substance that will cause our hearts to turn. Nothing else. So, may the Lord continually, by His Holy Spirit, draw our hearts, that they would turn unto Him again, that we would hear the voice of the testimony, even as the Holy Spirit, Jesus spake of Him, saying, He shall come and He shall testify of Me. He shall testify of Me. The Scripture shall testify of Me. The Father shall testify of Me. Those who are Mine and are beholding Me shall testify of Me. That our hearts would hear that voice and obey and turn and see that very substance. And not just once, but that would be from day to day to day by day by day. This Thy seeing Me and Thy seeing Me hereafter. No other purpose. Amen.